Today is the third Sunday of Advent, called Gaudete Sunday. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. Today we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. The bake sale will be after Mass today in the hall, and it is sponsored by Servants of the Holy Family. Please bring your favorite baked items and be sure to price them. And unfortunately, I was not able to get over there to see what was available. So, Wednesday, the Mass is at 7:30, and then that evening at 6:45, we will resume the talks on the Catholic faith, and we will be continuing the instructions from the Baltimore Catechism with lessons 15 and 16 on the commandments. So we have already finished the first part of the Catechism on the Creed. Now it's the second part on the commandments. So blessing of articles after Mass, benediction at 6 o'clock, the bake sale in the hall after Mass, and the talk on the faith this Wednesday at 6:45. Today is also the feast of St. Damasus. He was the Pope in the early church. We owe a great deal to him because he is the one who gave the command to St. Jerome to translate the Bible into the vulgar tongue of the people, the Latin language that we use at Mass. He also fought against the Arian heresy, and he was an archivist. He took care of all the records of the city, and so he continued that devotion to the records and especially the martyrs of the faith, and he wrote many of the epitaphs on their tombs. Tomorrow is the feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Tuesday is the feast of St. Lucy, and Friday is the feast of St. Eusebius, who was a bishop contemporaneous with St. Damasus fighting against the Arians. We'll take the second to say this about Our Lady of Guadalupe, because we know, as we heard the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, that our country is dedicated to the Immaculate Conception. Well, it seems like the Blessed Mother was already directing us in that way, because she appeared during the octave of the Immaculate Conception in what is now Mexico, but at the time it was just the New World. We're part of that New World. So even though it really stands out for Mexico, and they have a midnight mass, they have it like it's Christmas. But it is our feast too, especially in the southwest of our country. So just as a quick review on what happened, the day after the Immaculate Conception, the Blessed Mother appeared to this convert, Juan Diego, who was on his rushing to get to Mass with the Franciscan missionaries. And she told him what she wanted. The next day, he avoided her on the same hill because his uncle was sick and he didn't want to be delayed by the Blessed Mother in going to get a priest. And then subsequently, the Blessed Mother still caught him. She had to run down the hill and cut him off. It's an amazing story when you think about it. And he had gone down to talk to the bishop, and so I'm just kind of jumping here to get the gist of it out. And we went down to see the bishop. He was the bishop-elect, actually. And they wouldn't let him in for many hours and all that, and kind of roughed him up because he was just, you know, why does he want to see the bishop? And he did see the bishop, and the bishop wasn't sure. And he said, well, you know, ask the lady to, she wanted a sanctuary built there, ask the lady to kind of prove this. So he came back, and he told the Blessed Mother, you need to find somebody else. I am not a good messenger for you. And she said, you're fine. She would call him Juanito. He was like in his 50s, and she called him my little son. And anyway, it's funny. The dialogue is very funny. But then on the 12th, which is the feast day, she told him, don't worry. The bishop will listen to me. Go up to the hill. And this is in the middle. I see it's even snowing outside right now. She said, go up to the hill and pick the roses that are up there. And he picked them. and he put them in his tilma, which is, I guess, almost like the chasuble, really. And he put them in there, and he came down, and the Blessed Mother stopped and wait, let me look at those. So the miracle is already that we have these roses. By the way, Castilian roses from Spain in Mexico. But we already have the miracle there. But she arranges, she says stop, and she arranges the way she wants these roses to look inside the tilma. He goes down, and he's untying, he had it tied up, as he's tying it, untying it, they all come falling out. He felt she had arranged them perfectly, and and as they're falling out, they're disappearing as they hit the floor in the bishop's residence. And he sees that the bishop and everyone have fallen down on their knees, and they're staring almost at him, but they realize they're staring at this tilma. And that's when he realized there is the image of the Blessed Mother there. And of course, we have that in the vestibule, and it's still, the miracle is ongoing in Mexico City of the Blessed Mother's care for the people of the New World. It's a beautiful story, and it's a great feast day. Just to mention on St. Lucy also, a 13-year-old, and for all of our, well, everyone of any age, are catechumens of all ages, those who love the catechism and our faith. You can see how this person, about the year 300, persecution of Diocletian, she's 13 years old. She is brought before this whole story behind her life and her mother's sickness and everything. And she's brought before these judges. She's all by herself. She doesn't have a public defender there to help her. And the judge is saying, so what is this you Christians believe? You're Christ bearers. She said, yes, we believe that if we live purely and sincerely, that the Holy Ghost dwells in us. Do we all know that in our catechism? I can't go on with the rest of it. But she did predict that this most terrible of all the persecutions of the church, the final one, this one of Diocletian, would end, and the church would come out of the catacombs victorious. She's prophesying this, which of course did happen. Oh, I forgot to mention, and it's right here too. We have the Ember Days this week, so that's Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday special masses, all building up to the ordinations on the Saturday. And we've talked about the Ember Days recently, I think probably for the September one, so you know about that. By making it aware of it. And then this Saturday is the beginning of the O antiphons. So next week, hopefully, you'll hear more about that. But there is the one about, these are the invocations called O because each one, it's the antiphon for the Magnificat at Vespers, and each one begins with O as an expression to the Son and his coming. And this one is O Wisdom, who puts in order all of the things of the universe. Gently, come and teach us the way of prudence. How much we need this greatest of the moral cardinal virtues. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Philippians. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in every prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John chapter 1, verses 19 to 28. At that time, the Jews sent to John from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, who art thou? And he acknowledged, and he did not deny, and he acknowledged, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou the prophet? And he answered, no. They therefore said to him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What hast thou to say of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord, as said Isaiah the prophet. And they who had been sent were from among the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, Why then dost thou baptize, if thou art not the Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet? John said to them in answer, I baptize with water, but in the midst of you there has stood one whom you do not know. He it is who is to come after me, who has been set above me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to loose. These things took place at Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This day is always reminiscent of the Laetare Sunday in Lent, which stands out in a way even more because Lent stands out because of the penance, but we are in a season of penance also. And this year it just happens that this day literally is in the middle of Advent because we're into it 2 weeks and we have 2 weeks left till Christmas. So it's a little reprieve in our penances, which we hopefully are practicing. Main one being praying. But whenever this day comes, as the Holy Mother Church gives us the liturgy, Holy Ghost through the church, and so we have all of the texts, and it is telling us, Holy Mother Church, rejoice. And so, of course, we emphasize that. The Holy Mother Church says we can play the organ, put the flowers on the altar, but using that rose, that mitigated violet color, we drape the altar, the carpet, everything, the vestments, and it is, and we can smell, as the priests always do, they have put the scent of rose into the chapel, if you've detected that. So we are surrounded with all our senses, sight, smell, hearing. We are surrounded with this good feeling. I hope everyone is feeling that. I am. Because we will be victorious. We already know that, but we're always needing reassurances. And this is one of those days where Holy Mother Church wants us to be reassured and rejoice in that victory. It's already been won. Our Lord has already come. We are getting ready to remember that day with Christmas, but we're thinking of the great victory that's coming in the second coming of our Lord. That's what it's all about. We know that. But what is it that's going to carry us through? And it's the thing that we are, and that's the reason why we are persecuted for it. It is the faith. And so Holy Mother of the Church has us, for the stational church for this day, gather at St. Peter's. Because St. Peter was the one who carried the faith. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And our Lord said, You say, Thou art the Christ. I say, Thou art Peter. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And he goes on to guarantee the church will never be destroyed. So this is a mass. We gather with St. Peter and profess our faith, especially in light of persecution. And St. Paul and the texts of the mass are beautiful. So reassuring for all of us. St. Paul is telling everybody, do not be anxious. Do not be worried. Later we hear in the communion from Isaiah, to the faint-hearted, the weak, those who are afraid, take courage. That's the communion verse after we have our Lord with us. Take courage. We have the Son of God. Now, the reason why we get anxious, well, there are many reasons why. There's the big picture we keep referring to, but there's the individual picture. It's hard to be faithful. It's easy now. We're all saying together. We're strong together. we go over for the bake sale, we have that community and we feel strong. But then we have to go back into the world. And then it's harder. Work, school, whatever. The devil is out there, we heard from the Immaculate Conception, out there nipping at our heels. Because there is enmity between him and the woman, between his seed and her seed. We are the children of the new Eve. So we will win. His head will be crushed. But it says he lies in wait, trying to strike. So he's like right outside the doors, can't get us here unless we let him in. And he's outside, always waiting, and that's the part that we feel. We feel it for anything that troubles us, our health, our financial situation, the burdens of our life, the emotions and things, everything. All the things, the consequence of original sin. But this Mass is to reassure us. We've already won. The only reason why we feel these weaknesses and they get to us and they make us be anxious and worried is because we do not pray. We pray when we're here, but then when we leave the world, because the devil's striking out at us, he tries to distract us constantly. Don't let him do it. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, we all can pray. So we have our set times to pray and be faithful to those. But always when we feel the anxiety, we should pray. Because you see, St. Paul says right after that, have no anxiety. And then what do you say? But in every prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your petitions be known to God. He's telling us right there. There's no reason. We do have reasons to be concerned. But he says the only reason why they get to you is because you're not praying. And the Mass texts go on to say, the peace of God surpasses all understanding. And we cannot go into God, of course, is infinite, and so his thoughts are infinite, and so what he has put into the Mass texts have infinite meaning for us. So those who are praying, you are going to receive those if you're faithful, because God will enlighten you. You can hear the words of the text. Enlighten our minds and our hearts. I'm just quoting from the text of the Mass. These things would be jumping out to you, but we can't go into detail here. But you can hear the peace of God will give you something beyond understanding. Understanding, that is one of the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the one that enhances the virtue of faith. It gives us that penetration that makes it easy for us to believe. And the Mass texts are telling us that the peace of God, that which comes to us by prayer, exceeds even that, because we receive God himself. So that is what the whole Mass is about. But we have so much more in here, of course. Because in the Gospel, we have that great leader for Advent, St. John, and we heard about him last week, and here he is again. And as the Jews had they were the authorities that God had set up. They were authorized to go out and find out who is this person that everyone is flocking to. Now, we think of St. John as this long-standing person because he's the Baptist. We keep hearing this. His public mission lasted about 4 months. That is the amount of impact and the holiness of this person, that he could come on the scene for 4 months and impress everyone so much. That's how holy he was. So they hear about this, they send out, and you hear these people, these are authorized prosecutors coming out to do their interrogatories, deposing the witness. And you see, he's just saying no to them, because he's quickly saying, I am not the Christ. Because he knows who the Christ is, and he is not the Christ. And then, what are we supposed to go back as an answer? You have to tell us, who are you? And he is so much aware of his mission. He quotes and identifies himself with the prophecy of Isaiah. I am the voice. And the scripture scholars tell us he is describing himself not even as a person. He is a voice. A powerful voice, but a sound that can be lost in the wind. Because he must increase, I must decrease. The humility of this saint. But he's not the only model we have. And we reserved a little bit on the Ember Days for now, just to point out this. That this week is really the week of the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. Because on Wednesday, Ember Wednesday, which the Stational Church is at St. Mary Major, so wow, we're focusing in right away, on the great model for Advent, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And on that Mass on Ember Wednesday, it's all about the Annunciation. On Ember Friday, it's all about the Visitation. The role of the Blessed Mother literally bringing the Son of God into the world and immediately being active. Coming immediately and sanctifying the voice in the womb of his mother, St. Elizabeth. Now we want to propose to everybody, everyone should already be doing it, the prayer of the Angelus. But if there's any time to be saying the Angelus, it's during Advent. And you know what? We say in the morning, noon, and 6 p.m., right? How about saying it all the time? It's renewing and reminding us and thanking the Blessed Mother, all of the things we have to do in prayer, all about the most important thing that ever happened. And the Hail Mary, and we'll say it's Father Sheban, who is a great German theologian of the 19th century. Tremendous insights and enlightenment there. But he talks about the Hail Mary, and these are the first things we hear about the Blessed Virgin Mary. And this is from the angel Saint Gabriel. He says, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Because God has given the word, he has summed up this great creation of God, second only to the creation of the humanity of Christ himself. And Father Sheban goes through and says, what is the great doctrine about our Lord and the Incarnation? It is the hypostatic union. That is, the second person of the Blessed Trinity retaining his divine nature assumed a human nature. And we call that gift the grace of union, embodied in the second person, the uniting and the grace that all flowed in the human nature of Christ by this union, this hypostatic union. It is called the grace of union. And Father Sheban says, look how closely the Blessed Mother is tied to the hypostatic order, because the first thing that's said about her is full of grace. She is analogous to the grace of union. And the Immaculate Conception, we know, is that from the first moment of her existence, she had a plenitude of grace, the initial one. We heard about that. But Father Sheban goes on to say, what is the greatest of her privileges? The Immaculate Conception is just the preparation. And in that collect, you remember, it says, this Immaculate Conception, you have been given this grace and been freed of original sin to make a dwelling, a worthy dwelling place for the Son. And so Father Sheba says, this fullness of grace is best seen in her greatest privilege of the divine maternity. So the grace of union that makes the humanity of Christ elevated to the divine, he says, analogously, that is the divine maternity in the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then he goes on to say, and full of grace, the Lord is with thee, the indwelling of the Holy Trinity in the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we hear about that at the Gospel on Ember Wednesday. All about the three persons. Can't go into that. So we're just pointing out that the role of the Blessed Mother is now going to get bigger as we go through Advent. And then just a little footnote. And this year, if you can, usually people are off on the day before Christmas, but this year it is a Saturday, so maybe it's even easier. But try to make an effort to come, because amidst all the things we see, Isaiah the prophet, the Old Testament, St. John, the bridge between the two Testaments, and of course the Blessed Virgin Mary, the actual carrier of God into the world. But then just before Christmas, at the Vigil Mass, it's not the Christmas Eve, but the Vigil Mass in the morning, who is it that comes as that last little accent? St. Joseph. You know that the Gospel is all about St. Joseph. So we see that perfect formation of everything for us in Advent. So at this Mass, rejoice. Our victory is already there. We only have to be faithful to the faith by praying. Everybody, whoever you are, whatever is happening to you, people in school, people at work, whatever, you don't have to do much. Just pray, just like St. Lucy. You know, in the state of grace, God dwells in you. Just turn within, pray, and you will get through any problem. This is a Mass to guarantee that. And you can assure our Lord of that when you receive him. But as a last thing, we just want to do this, thinking of Our Lady and thinking of the feast tomorrow and thinking that we should not worry. These are some of the words of the Blessed Virgin Mary to Juan Diego. Now, the thing that he was very worried about, if you remember the little story, was his uncle was sick unto death. That's why he was avoiding the Blessed Mother. So when she says these words, she's referring to his concern about his uncle, which is good. He wanted to get extreme unction for his uncle. The Blessed Mother cured the uncle, by the way. But these are the words she says to him and to all her seed, all her children. That is what she says to you and to me, especially on this day when we are rejoicing and we know the victory is ours if we pray. Listen, my son, to what I tell you now. Do not be troubled nor disturbed by anything. Do not fear illness nor any other distressing occurrence nor pain. Am I not your mother? Am I not life and health? Have I not placed you on my lap and made you my responsibility? Do you need anything else? I know my answer. We need nothing else but Our Lady and the Holy Eucharist. May God bless you.